Well, we'll begin then today. Again, asking God to speak to us through His Word. Have a thought that want to bring to you today, and want to say a few things before we look to the Scripture itself this morning. Something that I need want to say to begin is something you already know. So many times. It is ours as preachers to speak the things that people already know, but maybe need to be reminded of, or need to think more deeply about, or need to consider once again in their life, because we see things in such a different light sometimes as the days go by in our lives. And what I want to say to begin this morning is that we live in a very dangerous world. We live in a dangerous world. We know this, from sickness to war to possible and real economic devastation in certain parts of the world, to just the pure uncertainty of life itself. None of us hold on to it. There, accidents happen. And we live then in a dangerous place. In our culture, in our country, so much has been done to provide for the safety of people, and this is a good thing. It's something we ought to strive for, is to provide safety for our families and for our children. The government's one real role, maybe among a very few, is to provide for the safety of its people. But we live in a dangerous world. The latest statistics on mortality is that all of us are going to die. 100%. Everyone in this room, one day, if time goes on, is going to find a grave. The bodies that we now inhabit will find a grave. This is not something that people want to think about, I don't think, very much anymore. We want to push this away. We want to push the danger away. We want to not think about the danger that we're in, but we have to wrestle with it. We have to face it. We have to admit it. We have to consider the implications of the fact that we live in a very dangerous world. And that study that was done where 100% of the people studied died, there were people who were meticulous about how they took care of themselves, exercised, ate all the right things, did all the right things to take care of themselves, and they still died. And the study contained people who did none of those things, didn't take care of themselves, didn't do the right things, but they too died. In such a dangerous world, where do we find safety? Where is the place of safety? We have today in college campuses, and I think even corporations now are starting this safe place movement, where basically, the way I understand it, you're not really allowed to say anything that might offend someone, and that's considered a safe place. And we are totally turned around today on what safety is. Where a safe place actually exists. But if we're all in this same danger, if every one of us is in this same danger, and we're all going to pass from this life to the next, where is the safe place? What is the safe place? Where is a safe place to be found in the midst of all of this uncertainty, in the midst of all of this danger that we face, in the midst of all of this that we can't control? Where is safety to be found? That's what we want to talk about today, is a safe place. The psalmist tells us where it is, and I want to read you the 91st Psalm. Familiar one we've read a number of times. No doubt I've taken this scripture for scripture as a text for preaching before, but I want us to think today about a safe place. Let's read what the psalmist says about a safe place in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Safe place. The safe place, the only safe place, truly, is in the shadow of the Almighty, near him, in the shelter of the Most High. This place that the psalmist speaks of, again, is not merely one of many safe places. It is the only safe place. The presence of God himself, found in him, in the shadow of the Almighty, as the psalmist says. This is the only safe place in a world full of danger on every hand. Everywhere we look, there is danger to be found. And yet there is also a place of safety. So long as you look for safety in him, you will find it. But if you look for safety in anything else in this world, you won't find it there. There's no safety to be found in any of the other things in this life. There are a lot of things that the world will tell you will provide you safety that in the end will not provide it. There's only one place of safety, and that is in the presence of God. You might find something from at various times in your life that appear to give you safety and appear to give you confidence and certainty, but those things are going to crumble in your hands one day. They're going to be seen for what they are, which are things that cannot provide you safety. Because the safety that I'm talking about today is not a temporary safety. The safety that the psalmist is talking about is not a safety that lasts for a little while and then passes away, and then you must find some other place of safety. This is a safety that will last you for eternity. Without end and without any interruption, there will be safety for you in God, but there will be safety for you in nothing else. No other thing in life can give you the safety that God alone can give you. That sounds very obvious to us today in our ears, but I want us to go deeper than just thinking merely on the surface of what this means and think about our life. Think about the way we live. Think about the way we think about our own safety. Think about our eternity. Think about the danger that we are in. And then I want us to think very certainly and very focused, in a very focused way, upon the safety that is found alone in God. And I want to think again for just a little while about the safety that maybe the world might say to you is real, that it actually is not. Youth. is one of, perhaps anyway, is one of the greatest illusions of safety in the human experience. Youth. Strength in youth and vitality and the thought that death is far from me. When we are young, we feel that the strength of our bodies and the quickness of our minds will secure us in our lives. And we take great comfort and great consolation in that fact that we are young, whatever age that might be for you. And as I have grown older, the definition of young has also grown older. But when we're young, we kind of push away this idea of danger. This youth seems to have about it this impression that the dangers of life cannot assail me. They cannot overcome me because I am young and I am strong. I am where I can see to my needs and I have nothing really to fear. But sooner or later, the illusion of that safety begins to creep in to our lives. At some point, as age begins to insert itself upon our bodies, as we grow older, we find that the safety that we thought we had as young people was merely a passing thing. It wasn't a permanent thing. And for me, and no doubt for most, if not everyone else, it was a passing thing that passed very quickly. But this idea of youth is that was, again, it's one of the greatest illusions of safety that the human being experiences. This idea that our youth will protect us, this mirage of sorts that gives us this idea that we're safe, but was actually blinding us to the dangers that we are in. Scripture encourages us, exhorts us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, to give our lives to Him when we are young, to honor Him, to put our hope in Him, to put our trust in Him, to find our safety in Him. But youth can give us this idea that we are safe and secure from these dangers because somehow youth is going to protect us from that. In fact, much of our youth, I think, is often wasted on this perceived safety. What do I mean by that? When it comes to the dangers of life, we convince ourselves that we're safe from them because we're young. We see our youth again as a strong fortress against the dangers of this life. We spend the years of our youth learning to depend upon ourselves and our own strength. That's where we place our confidence, is in ourselves. And we do that through the years of our youth far too much of the time. And then by the time that youth has fled and age has overcome that youth, we've wasted so many years when we could have been learning more about trusting God and putting our hope and our strength alone in Him, because we realize that all of a sudden we can no longer run as fast as we used to run, lift as much as we used to lift. Our hands begin to ache. Our bodies begin to break down. Our strength begins to leave us. Even the quickness of our mind begins to go and begins to start to see the effects of this aging. And we realize, sometimes in moments of clarity, we realize that youth was a mirage. The strength of the youth, the safety that we felt in our youth is gone now. And all that we have that's left is our hope and our trust in God. And that is the only place truly of safety. But we look back and we think, how many years I trusted in my own strength? How many years I trusted in my own ability to see me through these dangerous times of my life. And youth is wasted on that so much of the time. When youth has fled from us, though, when age creeps in, when the strength of our youth is gone, we find that all our trust in our flesh was terribly misplaced. We had been sold a place of safety that could in the end provide us with none, because it flees all too quickly. Those of you that are young here today, I want to encourage you strongly with the strongest encouragement that I can give to you today. Do not waste your young years trusting in the strength of your youth. Do not fall to the trap of the enemy in this way. Learn in your youth that only the only safe place in this world is in the presence of God. Learn that early and then trust it that it's true, and use the strength of your body and the quickness of your mind and the benefits of youth to honor Him and to trust in Him, because that youth is fleeting and is a mirage of safety, not the real thing. But you know, there's two sides of this idea. There's this idea that safety is found in youth, but then there's this idea when we get older that Satan has another trap for us that are older. Often we hear of this idea of a midlife crisis, where people go through and they do things that in the eyes of most seem to be terribly out of character, whatever the case might be, but people go through this idea, this thing that's often called the midlife crisis. You see, we're all looking for this safe place, which the psalmist has just told us is in God alone. And when we're young, we think that that safety is in ourselves and that it's in our strength, and we're going to build a path in our life, and we're going to set a foundation in our life that is going to create for us safety for ourselves, that for the rest of our life we will be able to depend upon and to look to for safety. But as we get older, those of us who are older, we must protect against the despair that we might feel of the lost sense of safety that youth may, in our own mind, we think might have provided for us when it never did. Do not wish for those days to return. Instead, thank God for the safety He's provided for you to this point in your life and the safety that you found in Him. Because there, again, is a twofold trap that Satan wants to set in our life. In our youth, he convinces us that our youth will last forever. It's in our. He convinces us that we know it's true. That we know it's not true. We know we're going to grow old, but it's this idea that's so far distant that we don't really think about it. We think it's out there somewhere long distant in front of us, and we put our hope and our strength is in that our lives are mostly before us. We think that we can see to the needs that we have, that we live in a place of great opportunity. And so Satan convinces us to trust that youth. But then, as we get older, he convinces us that we wasted our youth because we've not found the fulfillment or the safety that we thought we were going to be able to build. And we look back and we wonder where things went wrong. And we wonder what we did wrong, and we wonder what we could or should have done differently, when in reality there's nothing that was going to be found in our youth, no matter what we did, apart from God, that was going to provide for safety. And then the danger is that we grow disillusioned and maybe even apathetic, and we just kind of give up even seeking for a place of safety. We give up even looking for this place that the psalmist here speaks of in such beautiful language, because we're kind of disillusioned at it all. And we kind of go through this, we can, and we were tempted to kind of find this place, maybe that's just described as the doldrums of life. You know what the doldrums came from? Somebody's in the doldrums. The doldrums were and are places in the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean near the equator, where the climate, the reality, the fact is that the wind is just, it often is only just barely blowing. Sometimes it just doesn't, the wind doesn't blow at all. And ships that were on the sea, when they depended completely on the wind to sail, they would get into these spots, and sometimes they'd get stuck for days or even weeks at a time, waiting for the wind to begin to blow. Sometimes in our life we can feel as though we're in the doldrums, waiting for the wind to blow. Unwilling, perhaps, maybe, or unable for some reason to move forward, and obviously unable to move backward. and we're looking for safety and meaning and purpose in our life. During these doldrums in our lives, though, when safety appears so far away, that's when we need to hear the words of the psalmist when he tells us where safety is truly found. This whole idea of midlife, and we have this life expectancy, midlife crisis. Think about that for a minute. We don't even know if that were true. We don't even know when it might appear, because we may have passed our midway point years and years ago. None of us know. We are in a place, in a world of great danger, and there is one place of safety, and it is in the presence of God. It is to know Him. It is to follow Him. It is to confess Him to be your hope. Even here, today, we all struggle with illusions of safety. This psalm is not given a title, and an author is not claimed. Some say that when that happens, you go back in the chapters and the different songs that are listed, and the last one who had a title say this person wrote this psalm. The rest that followed are attributed to him until somebody else claims authorship. And if that is true, then Moses is likely the author of this psalm. And certainly Moses had many things in his life that demonstrated what would be consistent with his profession to God, that you are the place of safety. He was a man who would have been well acquainted with the dangers of the world at all the stages of his life. He would have been very acutely aware of what it is to find safety alone in God. And when we think about this idea of safety, what's intriguing to me is the man that likely wrote this song, and if Moses didn't write it, he no doubt agrees with it, but a man who saw and sought for safety in this world actually did a lot of things that appeared quite dangerous in the eyes of the world. You see, we can get this idea that safety is found in, as we hear, not rocking the boat. Don't make too much of an impression. Don't do much of anything. Don't do anything that would upset other people. But Moses is talking about this place of safety in God, and he did things that in the eyes of the world was not actually very convincing that it was going to be very safe at all. Defying Pharaoh was not the way most people would define somebody who wants to live a safe life. So the safety that we're talking about, the safety that the psalmist is talking about, is not safety in this life. It's safety from an eternal perspective. In fact, seeking the safety of God's presence in your life can sometimes mean seeking the lack of the same in this world. In fact, you're going to have to choose. In your life, you are going to have to choose what safety you're going to seek. Are you going to seek safety in this world, or are you going to seek safety with God in eternity? Because it is a choice that you're going to have to make. You're either going to, because sometimes God is going to call you to do something that is going to put the safety that you're seeking in this world at risk in your mind. Maybe it's going to be the foregoing of some promotion. Maybe it's going to be the speaking out to defend what you know is true. Maybe it's going to be just living a Christian life in the midst of an unchristian culture, and it's going to place you in a lot of danger. But the safety that you're seeking needs to be the safety that's found alone in the Lord. And Moses defying the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, it's not a safe thing to do. Some, in their pursuit of safety from the dangers of the world, end up living lives of great inactivity, doing what they think is the safe thing, when it's not safety in Christ, it's safety in the world. Is your safety, your comfort, your peace, your solid rock, is it God, or is it in the world? Because one of those is going to let you down. It's going to let you down one day. It's going to let you down completely. There will be no safety found in it at all. And sometimes when you have, when you find safety in God, it's going to put your life in some regard seemingly at risk. Again, maybe going to the mission field. Living according to your convictions about God and His Word. It's going to place you maybe in the eyes of the world, and from a temporary perspective, it's going to place you in what you think is danger, when in reality, because you are with this one, the Most High God, the Almighty, you could not be more safe. We read, and we will not take the time to unpack all of them, of course, but verse 3 through 13 is just one verse after another, after another, after another of the promises that God gives of safety. In the midst of these dangers that we're in, He promises all of this safety. I just want to call out too, the fifth verse, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You will be unlike most of the people around you. You will be steady and sure and at peace in the face of what appears to be danger. But you know that you could not be more secure, more safe than you are at that moment, because you are in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 7, I love this verse 7. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. Though you will be right in the heart of danger, and though others around you may fall, you will be secure. If God is your safety, if He is where you're finding your safety, not in others, but in Him, and though others around you may fall, though from left and the right, as you look at your right and your left, you're in the very midst of so many people falling to the dangers of life, you will be secure and steadfast and certain and at peace and in the very heart, in the very midst of safety. These promises that God gives, and we could spend so much time in verses 3 through 13 just rejoicing over the promises that God gives to us of the safety that He is offering. And do you note who He offers it to? Where did He say in verse 1? He said, He who dwells. He does not put any limiters on this. God does not say, I am going to make a certain group of people safe and everyone else is just out of luck. The psalmist here says, He who dwells. This implication is that you can access this safety. You can come into this safety. You can enjoy the results and the comfort of this safety. You can, because the psalmist says again, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, is this idea that anyone can. All have access to this. This is not dependent upon you being in some kind of privileged group or have some kind of special access. He offers it to you, and He offers it to you right now. You want safety eternally? Then you have access to it. God is offering it. He who dwells, just the person, the individual, the person who will come, everyone, you and me, we are offered this place of safety in the midst of a dangerous world, in the midst of a world that is occupied by one who hates God and all of those who will follow Him and wants nothing more than to drag as many as he can into his destruction. But you can find safety in Him. You can find safety today in this God that we speak of, and this God who I can tell you by testimony is the place of safety that will never, ever let you down. It will never be taken away when you're 12 and when you're 32 and when you're 62 or 92 or 102. This place of safety is sure and steadfast, and it's offered to all. To you and to me and to people outside of this house and the people on the other side of the ocean, this safety is offered to them. To Jake, as he goes about fulfilling his obligations, this is offered to him. To you and to me, it's offered to you, to us. It, it's It's offered, and yet it's only found by some. Do you know the thing that ought to sober us more than anything else is that we live in a world where some are going to find this safety and some are not? Some are going to find it and some aren't. Saying it that all are well and that everything is fine as the prophets in Israel did. It's peace, peace when there is no peace. Safety when there is no safety. No amount of words can change a heart. Only God can do that. And yet, while it's offered to all, we know that not all will take it. And they'll live their lives in uncertainty and a lack of safety, and they will leave this life never to be safe. Never to feel the wing of the Almighty cover them, and to feel the confidence and the hope and the surety that this one who covers me is the Most High, the Almighty, and there is no hand that can strike him down. There is no one who can stand against him, and he is covering me, and I am safe in him. I don't care what happens in this life. I don't care. The Lord sends us out into a very dangerous world, and yet we meet it with calmness and certainty and assurance, because the one who covers me is the Almighty, the Most High. All are offered it, but not all experience it, because listen to what it says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty. He who dwells there. That Hebrew word dwells, if you do some word study on that, it's the idea. In fact, some of the definition is to settle, to take up an abode, to live. This is not a place where you come and visit. This is not a place that from Sunday to Sunday maybe you come and visit with God, but you dwell with Him in your life. So safety is available to everyone, but you must dwell with God to experience it. So what about it for you? Is your relationship with God one that is defined by dwelling with Him, or one defined by visiting with Him? Because the psalmist says this safety that God can provide and offers to you is a safety that is found when you dwell with Him, not when you merely visit from time to time. When you go about your life, are you settled? Is God there? Are you with Him? Are you dwelling with God, or are you more of a visitor in His presence? If I went around the room and I asked this question, even in a dwelling such as this, not everyone would have an answer. And those that have an answer, it might be different. And I hope for us that know the Lord, it's not very different. But if I ask you, what is the great abiding passion of your life? What is it that animates your days? That when you wake up in the morning, and maybe an hour after you wake up, when you finally shake all the cobwebs off, I don't know, some people are morning people, some people aren't, but when you are come to yourself in the morning in your day, what is the abiding passion? What is the thing that motivates you above all other things? Is it to dwell with God? As I've thought about that, it's so easy to get so confused, so distracted. I remember days, the only thing I cared about
was whether I was hearing God, walking with Him, His scripture consuming my thoughts, and my only concern was His pleasure. That is the passion of my life. And I fall so short. Because we go and we look for safety somewhere else. But its safety's found in dwelling with God. Not just visiting again, but dwelling with Him to see His work done in your life. To live ever more aware of His ownership of all things. To place, as I think about this, to place my hands at the work that God has given to me to do, to do them as though when I'm done with that work, I don't merely offer it to some temporary earthly boss. But I offer it to God. I say, God, I've done this. You've given me this work to do, and I do this for You. God, you've put these people in my life, and I have loved them, and I do love them, and You have put in my heart a love for them. But God, I give them to You, and I do this for You. I love this person for You, God, because You've called me to do so. Because You've allowed me the privilege to do so. That's where safety is found. Don't look for it elsewhere. Absence of this kind of safety in your life, you'll build structure after structure. You'll go from relationship to relationship. You'll go from job to job. You'll go from this to that, and you'll never find it. All of these structures that you're going to build, thinking you're going to find safety there, they're going to crumble around you one day. Did you hear it as well? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Let me tell you a thought that God, I think, directly gave me on this. The safe place is in God's shadow. Not man's spotlight. Nothing, in fact, will drive you farther away from the safety that is found in God's presence faster than a desire to be seen or praised or accepted by men. Because the safety that's found in God is found in His shadow. Don't seek safety in the acceptance of others. Don't seek safety in the praise and the adoration of others. Don't seek safety in other men for any reason at all. And I struggle with that so mightily. But what that is actually doing is it's making us the focus when it's not supposed to be that way. You're in the shadow of the Almighty when you are safe, not in the spotlight of other men. Safety of God is found as we disappear into His shadow. And here we have what is likely the most common reason that people refuse the safety, because they're not willing to fall into the shadow of God. They want to be seen. They want to be praised. They want to be honored. They want to be looked upon with admiration. They want to be impressive to the world. They want to go get, quote, what they think is theirs. An unwillingness to lose our lives in the shadow of God. An unwillingness to go unnoticed by those around us and by the world in general. May indeed be the very reason that we are not experiencing the safety that God is offering to us today. Do people see you in your life?
Or do they see a shadow of the one to whom you claim allegiance? When they look at you, when they observe your life, and I'm not talking about on Sunday morning, I'm talking about on Saturday night, Tuesday, when you're having a good day and when you're having a bad day and everything in between, when they observe your life and they look at you, do they see you, or do they see a shadow of God? Do they see there's something they can't quite put their finger on? But you've got a certainty, and you're experiencing a safety that they don't have any idea of. When they look at you, does it make them wonder where you found that safety that's so evident in your life? Do they wonder what the rock is that keeps you steadfast in the good times and the bad? Do they see a calm assurance and faith that is built upon the truth of what we just read in verse 4, that His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler to you? Or do they see you in much the same way they see themselves and most other people, searching for safety? You know, I thought of this. A knight in shining armor. Knight in shining armor, his sword at his side, mounted, a war horse, strikes quite a figure, doesn't he? Impressive, intimidating. Just amazing, maybe, if we were to ever really lay eyes on it. We went and saw in a museum at school, I don't remember even where it was now, it may have been Philadelphia, these suits of armor. And I thought about some of them. You know, you'd have seen them on a day on a battlefield, how imposing they must have looked. But, you know, as I thought about this, the knight, even in his shining armor with sword at his side, mounted his war horse, disappears when he's riding next to the king. No one looks at the knight. They look at the king. Make no mistake. We are called, those of us that know God, we are called to be soldiers of the cross of Christ, to be courageous and bold and strong and steady and reliable and faithful, and all of those qualities that we are to seek to be in our lives, honest with integrity and self-sacrifice and nobility. We are to be those things, but we are to be those things because we're in the shadow of the King. And when they look at us, they know there's a king that one serves, who must be altogether mightier than I can even imagine. Do they see you? Or do they see the king you claim to serve? Satan, he doesn't want us to find this place of safety. He wants us to continue to grope wildly about and unsuccessfully at the many mirages of safety that the world offers. Maybe again it's youth. Maybe it's certainty in financial setting. Maybe, I don't know what it can be in your life. I know what it's been in my own life, finding, seeking and not finding places of safety outside of God. But I want to encourage you to leave off searching for the safety that you think is in the world or in yourself. You won't find it. You won't. Begin today to make your dwelling place the very presence of God. Those who find this safety, as we've said, are those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. They don't come and visit. But it is also those who say, as it says in verse 2, I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. In you I will trust. Those who say it without hesitation, without equivocation,
I will proclaim this, says the psalmist. I will openly state it. My safety is in God. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is indeed my God, and I will trust Him. And thus, I denounce and I cast away from myself all other appearances of safety so that I can grab hold of God. And I will say it. You know what? This may be the only reason you haven't found it yet. Because I will speak words with my mouth that come from my heart. God, I will honor you. I will serve you. I will praise you. I will seek my safety alone in you. If you haven't found this place of safety before, I'm going to encourage you to seek it. Do you sense the danger that's all around you? The certainty of uncertainty in life? You see the danger at this very moment? Jesus died so that you might find this place of safety in God. He desires for us to come to Him and find rest and safety and purpose and all of those other things that we have a hole in our hearts for when we don't know God. Don't seek it in some activity or some preconceived idea or something else in this life. Seek Him. Nothing. Coming to Him with nothing but a heart of repentance, a heart filled with hope in Jesus and a belief that He will save you. For those of us who have found this place before, but find yourself today wandering from the safety found in dwelling with God, I want to challenge you too. But I also want to encourage you, because the place of safety is not far away. Just turn around. The most difficult and yet the most simple thing is turn around. Because to turn around and to walk back to this place of safety requires of you to let go of that thing that you were walking after, that took your attention, that distracted you from dwelling with God. So I ask you today, in all sincerity, to examine your heart. Is there something that you are straying away from dwelling with God, thinking that it's going to provide for you some sort of safety? Take your eyes off of it. Turn back around to God and kneel before Him. And come back to the place of safety that you found once and you know is there again. And say once again, my God, my shield, my buckler, I will trust in you. And I will be in your shadow, more safe than in any spotlight of man I could ever find. Finally, how sad would it be to live your life with safety so near, but never enjoyed? Safety so near, so close, never obtained. May that not be our testimony. May we run to this safe place, the safe place, a safe place in God, and trust Him then to provide for all that we have need of, and to find confidence and certainty in Him. We hope something's been said that's been a help. Let's have some.